A very good morning to each one of you on this special Sunday. Thanks to Pastor Sammy, thanks to the church, thanks to Pastoral Training Seminary, the Preachers Academy that have helped me over the past years. Three years ago, I was making my first visit to Panjim to visit a bank, and it took me an hour to park my car, and then it took me another hour to locate where the bank is, and after I finished my work it took me another 1.5 hours to locate where my car was. I ended up walking 3 hours. My Google Maps were not working. My internal compass was not working. I lost my sense of direction. Now, as Christians, we know the direction of our life, where we are heading on earth and into eternity, where our thoughts and affections are focused on. What is our sense of direction and our motivation? This morning my theme, the theme of my message is fixing our affections on the risen Christ. Fixing our affections on the risen Christ. And the Christian who is risen with Christ, he has a new focus. He has a new focal point. You know, he has a new direction altogether. Just like the compass needle, it's always drawn to N, north. So our spirit is drawn to the heavenlies to be occupied with Jesus Christ our Lord. In the letter of Apostle Paul to the Colossians chapter 3, he is talking about our hearts and mind to be focused and to be with the risen Christ in heaven. We need to have this inner disposition or outlook as a compass, you know, that points N for north. And our compass should constantly point to the risen Christ. Our entire disposition, our entire outlook should point itself towards the things of heaven through Christ alone, the risen Lord. Let's turn our Bible to the scripture portion for today. Colossians chapter 3 verses 1 to 4. Colossians chapter 3 verses 1 to 4. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Apostle Paul is showing us how we should seek Christ in these verses, and he gives us two instructions and three motivations in these four verses from Colossians. The two instructions are that we fix our eyes on the risen Christ. Colossians 3:1, verse 1. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ. The literal translation is, since you have been raised to new life with Christ. This actually means to be co-resurrected with Christ, to rouse, to revive from death, raise up together, raised with Christ. This is because of the believer's union with Christ, Christians spiritually entered his death and resurrection. This happens at the moment we personally come to know the risen Lord. And as such, we have been and are now alive in Christ. So we know Christ. We need to understand the spiritual truths, the realities, the blessings, the will of God, the privileges, the riches of the heavenly kingdom, all of which they are at disposal to us. Let's turn a page behind in our Bible to Colossians 2, chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. And in him you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. You know, at salvation, believers, each of us who know the Lord, we undergo a spiritual circumcision without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh. The Heidelberg Catechism, A37, quote, "By his atoning sacrifice on the cross, Jesus sets us free, body and soul, from eternal condemnation and gained for us God's grace, righteousness and eternal life." Now these are wonderful blessings indeed, all of which we begin to experience even before our deaths. Yet there are further blessings we experience in this life beyond the privileges of knowing that the debt of our sin has been fully paid in Christ. It's a glorious privilege to belong to Christ, to be raised up with Christ. Does it not make a difference in our lives to know that we have been raised up with Christ? As we fix our eyes on the risen Lord, first we need to set our hearts on the things above. Secondly, we need to set our minds on the things above. So let's look at the two instructions Apostle Paul gives us. Instruction one is to set our hearts on things above. This is for a new direction. Keep, Colossians 3:1, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. The first instruction given here is keep seeking the things above. The word seek is in the present tense, which indicates it's a continuous action to desire, to crave, you know, to endeavor, to worship. In other words, Paul is telling Christians to keep on seeking the things that are above. It's a lifetime quest, search, to put our hearts on the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Why do we have to seek the things above? Isaiah tells us, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Our Lord Jesus tells us, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Seek the things which are above. What are they? Well, they are the spiritual values that are embedded in the heart of the glorified Christ. Realities like tenderness, kindness, loveliness, meekness, long-suffering, patience, wisdom, forgiveness, most of all, love. Jesus tells us in John 15:6, he tells, you did not choose me, but I have chosen you. He has chosen us, he has done his part lovingly. If we are lost, we need to seek him. We need to change our direction. We need to seek the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. When we live our routine daily life, whether busy at work or responsibilities or relaxing in some way, we need to be conscious and we need to be tuned to the heavenly and eternal glories. That is where the risen Christ is. Can we not safeguard ourselves to the things above in heaven? Sure we can. And how else can we gaze on the glory of the Lord unless we've got our mind in heaven, unless we are thinking about God, unless we are thinking about Christ? do we realize the fact that one day we will be with Christ in all glory? We have seen the first instructions to set our hearts on things above. That's for a new direction. Next, the second instruction is to set our minds on the things above and for a new focus. Set your mind, Colossians 3:2. Set your minds on things above, not on things that are on earth. Besides seeking, the believer is to proactively work on his or her mind. Each of us must take more responsibility about thinking. We need to do a lot more thinking and develop our ability to think more clearly, though we may falter in many ways. The best Christian living comes from minds that are fixed on heaven. Proverbs 23:7. For as a man thinks within himself, so he is. KJV. For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. The mind, it involves deep thoughts, contemplation, reflections to exercise. And that is the purposeful mental activity of imagining and understanding. Jesus answers the lawyer's question, which is the first and great commandment? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. You know, to love God with our whole mind involves the seat of our intellectual life. To love God with our mind is also to love Him with right attitudes. We need to place our intellect in strict subordination to God's revelation in the Bible. We need to place our intellect. We need to submit our thinking to His revelation, the biblical truths. Most of us function without needing to think much. We have evolved to use calculators and Excel sheets without the need to think or calculate. Massive transactions are going on without the need to use our minds, without the need to think. Cars are being designed to run without a driver. No, artificial intelligence has taken over the mind of man. The flat screen, the computer screen, the mobile screen, they don't allow us to think. The flat screen has captured our thinking. Now, we as Christians, we need to take control of our mind and fix it on the eternal and spiritual values of Christ Himself. Like the needle of the compass that always points to end, north. We need to make a conscious and strong attempt to make time to think, to consider and evaluate everything we see and hear in the light of what is eternal and spiritually important. 1 Corinthians 2:16. For who has known the mind of the Lord that He will instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. What Apostle Paul is telling us. The word mind is also translated divine understanding. As believers, we are allowed by the word of the Spirit to know the thoughts of our Lord. A believer is aided by the Holy Spirit and has been given access to the thoughts of Christ. We have the ability to see what is spiritual and to think what Christ thinks. What is the center of our life? If Christ is the center of our life, then our hearts and minds should be set on Christ alone, the risen Christ, the risen Lord. What is the most dominating influence on our mind? We need to set our affections on things above, on the risen Lord, not on things on the earth. What efforts have we put in to control our mind or fail to control it? We need to keep our hearts and mind to be preoccupied, you know, with Christ, the risen Lord. After two instructions, Apostle Paul continues to give us motivations to live the risen life. He gives us three motivational reasons as to why we should do the things. Colossians 3, chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. The first motivational reason is, we died with Christ. Past. Colossians 3:3a, you have died. Here we must face the reality of the believer's death. The believer has died. It's past tense. Death is a serious transition. It brings death to the old order. We need to understand this in a simple and a clear way as possible, because only as we grasp this reality can we live the new life in Christ. We cannot experience the new life if we are still in the old life. We are dead to sin and alive in Christ. Despite our past, all of us whom God has justified, we will and should experience personal holiness. Now, this is possible if we move from the unregenerated old self to the divinely given new life in Christ. Apostle Paul explains it in Romans chapter 6 verses 5 to 11. Please turn your Bible to Romans chapter 6 verses 5 to 11. Romans 6, 5 to 11. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him, in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. Verse 7. For he who has died is freed from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death no longer is master over him. Verse 10. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. So the motivational reason why we should set our hearts and minds on things above is because we have to consider yourself dead to sin but alive to God in Christ. Does it make any difference to our lives to realize that we have died with Christ, died to sin? Has it transformed our outlook, our plannings, our thinking, our priorities? This past great event has already taken place, for you have died. Now let's look at the present. The second motivational reason, our life is now hidden with Christ in God. It is present. It's now. Colossians 3:3. And your life is hidden with Christ in God. We as believers have died to sin, in the sense of being separated from sin. Thus the believer's life is hidden, or it is contained with Christ, in Christ. It's present tense. Here we observe the residence of the believer's life. Where we live is important, spiritually. We use the phrase, make yourself at home. When we are saved, we are in Christ. This needs to register in our hearts and minds, and Paul is dealing with this reality that our life is now hidden with Christ, in Christ. So, as soon as we surrender our lives to Christ, he makes himself at home in us. Our life is to be hidden with Christ in God. This is a rich expression, and it has a twofold meaning. First, it means that we have a common spiritual life with the Father and Son. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 17. But the one who joins himself to the Lord is one spirit with him. We are one in spirit with our Lord. our bodies are more than just a body that will die and it will decay. But our bodies will be resurrected as Jesus' body was. More so, our bodies are right now members of Christ, our risen Lord. We are set apart for Him and for His purposes. A holy vessel. There is especially no tolerance of any casual attitude for any form of sexual sin. Or sin itself. Any sin. This means that all our activities must bring glory to God alone, Christ alone. Second, the believers are eternally secure, protected from all spiritual enemies and with access to all of God's blessings. Eternally secure. John 10 verses 28 and 29. And I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. Jesus speaks of us as being in His hand and in His Father's hand and being secure. This is a even more powerful picture of eternal security which the believer has in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus explains that those who are His are like sheep. They only respond to the voice of their own shepherd or master. How a person reacts to Jesus proves whether they are part of His flock or not part of His flock. Jesus also claimed to be like the single opening pen, the door, which was the only means to finding rescue from danger, any outside danger. Jesus also proclaims Himself to be the good shepherd who is willing to die for the sake of those who are His. And He did it and conquered death. Those who belong to Christ are safe from being taken away as a wolf might grab a sheep in the wild. The nature of the eternal life the risen Christ offers to us is permanent, irrevocable. It cannot be taken back. He has given it to us. Our new life is hidden with Christ because Christ has conquered death and He is enthroned in heaven. Because of Christ, we as believers, our thoughts and hearts are presently connected with heaven. Can we streamline our goals or ambitions to reflect our position in Christ? Our goal or ambitions has to be in such a way that we are dead to the world and our life is hidden with the risen Christ in God. First motivational reason was we died with Christ. It's past. Second motivational reason, our life is now hidden with Christ in God. It's present. And the third motivational reason is when Christ appears, we will appear with Him in glory. It's future. Colossians 3:4, when Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with Him in glory. This is the glorious return of the Lord Jesus Christ. When Christ, who is our life. Do we not like this phrase, when Christ, who is our life, is revealed? The first thing we notice here is that Paul is saying that Christ is our life and continues to highlight Christ as the source of true life for all Christian believers. In his letter to the Philippians, Paul says, "For me to live is Christ." And his letter to the Galatians, he says, "I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I that live, but Christ lives in me. That life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who has loved me and gave Himself up for me." Galatians 2:20. Now Paul suggests that what is true for him is also true for every Christian. That Christ is their life. Christ is not only the giver and the sustainer of eternal life. Christ is our life. Christ is the life. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, verse 4. When Jesus came the first time, no, he did not reveal his awesome glory. He had willingly humbled himself for our sakes. His glory was hidden in human flesh. He was humiliated, oppressed for our sake, despised, rejected of men, a man of sorrows. Isaiah 53:3. When he comes the second time, we all shall see him clothed with glory, which he had with the Father before the world was created. Now, as at Christ's second coming, everyone on earth will see him in the glory of God as God and King. Everyone will see him as God and King. Then, at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow of those in heaven, those on earth, those under the earth. Philippians 2:20. He, Jesus, shall come again in glory to judge the living and the dead. And his kingdom shall have no end. Now, along with this glorious return of the Lord Jesus Christ in verse 4a, what we have seen, we also see the glorious return of the believer with the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 4b, then you will also be revealed with him in glory. This is an amazing truth. Before the Lord returns to earth, and even before he touches the Mount of Olives, Jesus is coming midair to snatch away his people, the believers, all Christians, away from the earth. And all Christians will then return with Jesus to be with him forever. This is what Paul is teaching. You know, Colossians 3:4. Then you will also be revealed with him in glory. Paul clearly he anticipates Christ's return at any moment. This is a theme both consistent and it is clear throughout the New Testament. When Christ appears, believers will be with him in glory. Paul exhorts his readers not to grieve as the unsaved grieve. Now he explains that when Jesus returns, first he will resurrect the bodies of the departed Christians and then catch up. The living Christians will catch up with him to be with him forever. The truth taught in the Bible is that Christ will come for his saints and catch them away before God's wrath is poured on earth in what is called as the 7 years of tribulation. That is called the rapture. At this time, believers will be transformed and their souls and the spirits will be joined together with a resurrection body, and they will be lifted to meet Jesus in the air. Believers will also be judged for rewards at the Bema seat or the judgment seat of Christ. It will indeed be a glorious day. We will be in glory with the Lord Jesus Christ. We will be sharing in his glory. We will be transformed, no longer to have the sinful flesh, but will be perfected in righteousness and in holiness. We shall see Christ face to face. We shall roam around freely in the 1,500 square miles of heaven, the New Jerusalem described in Revelation 21. CCC, church, you know of it. Pastor Sammy had taken us through the book of Revelations during Bible study. Colossians, as in other scripture, teaches us that we will return with Christ in his second coming. This will be a glorious return, and we will reign with him on earth 1,000 years before the final judgment of all the wicked, for heaven or for hell. Can we not desire and delight to be in our future home with our King, our risen Lord. 2 Peter 3:11. Since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? What sort of people you ought to be? As Christians, we have been addressed and commanded to be unified, to refuse to seek revenge, even when wronged. We have always been called to reject evil and do what is good. This is true even when if we are suffering. In fact, it may be God's will for His people to suffer, in part to demonstrate His greatness, His power. Our good example can convict others into repentance. Christ too suffered, died, was resurrected, and ascended to power and authority in heaven. He is the risen Lord, the risen Christ. Now, knowing all this, what kind of people ought we to be? What kind of people we ought to be? I'll give a quote from C.H. Spurgeon. You know, he tells, "It is a great truth that you will rise again. It is a sweeter truth that you will always be with the Lord. Whatever else you draw comfort from, neglect not this deep, clear and overflowing well of delight. There are other sources of good cheer in connection with the glory to be revealed, for heaven is a many-sided joy. But still, none can excel the glory of communion with Jesus Christ. Wherefore, comfort one another in the first place and more constantly with these words, so we will always be with the Lord. So we will always be with the Lord." Let's pray. Gracious Lord, we just want to thank you for this time of worship, this special Sunday morning. We treasure you for all that you have done for us. Today we have this privilege to worship the risen Lord, Jesus Christ the Lord, who in all humility willingly offered himself for us that we might live. Gracious God, each of us have a heart of thankfulness for all that you have done for us. May our eyes, hearts, look upon your grace and rejoice in the salvation that you have given us. May we never forget that you gave your life for us so that we live with you in eternity. May we find comfort in your loving grace. All glory to the risen Lord. Amen.